This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Here's a popular topic from our Rock on the Money podcast. For the full episodes and more information, head on over to rockonthemoney.com. Hope you enjoy. Hey, time for baby step six. We're almost up to seven. That's quick awesome. Review. This five baby steps. I'll handle this one. It's late at night. You guys have no idea how late it is, you know, while we're recording this. But baby step one is your initial $1,000 emergency fund. But if you only make $24,000 or $25,000, we only want $500 in there. Baby step two is the big kahuna.
Yeah.
Kahuna. You're paying off all of your debts, excluding your mortgage. Because we're getting ready to talk about that.
Budgeting comes in handy.
Yeah. And we're going to do the smallest one to largest in the amount, not interest rates or anything like that. Baby step three is we are doing our fully funded emergency fund, which we're going to talk about in this portion right here, Amanda. And baby step four, five, and six, you can do them simultaneously, but in this order, in priority. Baby step four is doing 15% minimum. You know, I should emphasize it. It's minimum 15%.
Oh, you should emphasize that.
Yeah, because you can always put more in your retirement fund.
As 15% long as you're qualified minimum. To, yes. There are some.
Yeah.
The lawyer.
Yeah, 15% in there. And then, of course, baby step five is you want to start planning for college for your kids and start funding that as well. Also, baby step six, which can be controversial, Amanda. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some people want to, I'm not getting into a lot of the debates out there. If you guys want emails, we'll read the emails about the pros and cons about paying off your mortgage. We're going to cover baby step six. I'm for paying it off. Mm-hmm. I know some other, yours is paid off, isn't it?
No.
No. Okay. Are you paying it off or?
Am I paying it off? Yeah, 1 month at a time.
There you go. All right. I am not
the poster child here when it comes to it. We have a mortgage, but we also know it's a short term. Because we move every 2 or 3 years, it's always right. A short term investment that then we recoup when we sell because we buy, you know, fixer uppers and flip them over a 2 to 3 year period.
So. See, you're doing the investment angle of this because exactly. You're in a military yeah. couple. And so yeah. You are moving all the time. So this would not pertain to you.
It doesn't exactly. I mean, if we were super wealthy, then I would buy them all with cash. Like the one, and then we buy investment properties elsewhere where we decide during our meetings.
Our right, board right, meetings, right. Your meetings.
Yes, and our board meetings where we're going to invest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And typically people that do the baby steps when they get to this, the average is 6 to 7 years to pay off the mortgage is what those people end up doing because they're so motivated by the time they get to this, that is the average that they get reports of. So,
Right. But
can you imagine like if you did not have a mortgage, think everybody what your mortgage amount is. If you didn't have to write that check or electronically send it in any longer. How much faster you would become wealthy. And I mean, mm-hmm. imagine what that is. And during
our meetings, we have a bit of a discussion about this topic because, you know, we invest in other properties too. Right. And right now we have another mortgage on a separate property, but the next one I am advocating for cash only. So we are, you know, spreading our risk, so to say.
And I personally am in that kind of camp. If I do go down that route, I want to do maybe fund the first one, but I mean, mortgage the first one, but I do want to pay cash for all the subsequent ones after that, because I heard that is a much lower risk. There's so much debates out there. I realize that, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it just slows down your ability to scale, but that's a whole different conversation, right.
But you own it.
Yes.
And the risk mm-hmm. is much reduced. So, and we're going to talk about risk in this. Everybody, when you first buy your home, or refinance it, here's what you're supposed to be doing as far as, and this goes back to your budgeting topic.
Yes.
Amanda, when you buy a home and mm-hmm. you go and the realtor, and you're a broker, But a lot of these.
No, I'm a real estate agent, not a broker.
Oh, okay. So a lot of real estate agents tell people what they can afford. You need to tell them what you can afford. Now, you can correct me if I worded that right, but you see what I'm getting towards here.
Yeah.
So when you look at your take-home pay, the rule for budgeting in the what we teach here is you want to do a 15-year fixed mortgage with a payment no more than 25% of your monthly take-home pay. Now, people are thinking, well, that means I can only afford this. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just worked with someone the other day. They admitted they are home poor. They are their payment is more than 50% of their take home pay. And they got upset when they said, "You're telling me I need to sell my house." I'm like, "I didn't say it. You said it. You said your house poor. I didn't say it." But anyway, it was a whole conversation. That is really the rule. Now, if you're 26, 27, we're talking about 25% ish. But that also includes the PMI, if that's in there. I mean, all that other stuff. Whatever the payment is, it's 25% of your monthly take home. Do you have any add-ons for that since you are a real estate agent?
Yes. But I focus on referrals only. So gotcha. I like to help out those who are similarly situated and need to move often and find an agent anywhere in the United States. I have a connection for you.
Oh, there you go.
Shameless plug there.
Hey, since you're not getting paid to do this, you're allowed to plug yourself. That's the way I look at it.
So I'm now a sponsor of the show.
Amanda's Real Estate.
So I think there's a couple other things that feed in here is how do you feel, Craig, about what amount should be a down payment?
Oh, well, I don't like PMI. I know there's like people doing 5-10% stuff. Yeah. I get leery about people only doing 5 or 10 because just like people are talking about house, the market bubbles, there are also housing bubbles too, depending on where you're at. Obviously, there's different areas that are coming down. So I like to have a buffer in there somehow. That's just
so the thing I see a lot because we're in the military community are these VA loans that are zero down.
Yes. Oof.
They get you though. There's loan initiation fee, or I don't remember exactly what they call it, but there's a big fee up front that they charge you. It's a percentage of the loan that has to be paid up front in the closing costs. And then, like you said, the value of the house could decline, and then you might be, you know, underwater by the time you have to leave in 2 or 3 years. So it's very risky. I am not a fan for zero down.
No.
I think you should have some skin in the game.
Remember 2008?
Yeah, I do.
That's kind of like what was going on back then. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, there was other shady things going on, but people were getting loans that should not be getting loans.
So you're going to tell us, though, why we should pay off your house early.
All right. So here's some reasons why you should pay it off early. I know this is a very controversial topic. Number one, you save money on all the interest. Do you have any stats on how much money you can save on, let's just say, a typical 30-year mortgage?
I have a personal stat.
Well, go ahead. Throw it in.
Like I've shared before, we just bought an investment property in Georgia.
Okay.
And it was like $153,000 in loan. So it was like a $200,000 house. We put 25% down. Mm-hmm. And when you get the loan documents, over a 30-year mortgage, you're going to pay an additional $100,000 in interest.
That's almost what you're paying.
Yeah.
That's two-thirds in interest.
Of the actual. Yeah, exactly.
That's insane.
So, of course, we're not going to pay it off that slowly, but...
So, that's one reason to pay it off early. You're not paying all that interest if you're going over...
Because that's $100,000 you could put in your retirement fund.
By the way, here's a neat little stat I learned the other day is, you know, a lot of people will say, well, I'm just going to get the 30, but then I'm going to turn into a 15 on my own.
Yeah, that almost never happens.
Do you know what the percentages of people that follow through on that is?
I would say less than 10%.
Oh, it's 2.5%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody does it because they want to spend money on other things. Anyway, just a little stat there. Other than saving my interest, you're mitigating your risk because life happens, Amanda. Because if you have a paid off house and you're suddenly hit with a financial hardship, it's much easier to scrape together money for the basics like food, clothing, transportation, utilities, because that cost is a much lower level than your actual mortgage. And because it's paid off, Amanda, the bank can't foreclose. You know why you can't foreclose? Because it's paid off, people.
Yeah, because the bank has no lien
it's
on
yours.
It anymore. No interest.
Right. They can't come take it from you. When you protect the four walls and the roof, you have a roof because it's yours. Yep. They can't take it from you.
Yeah, it just gives you so much more flexibility. Like you, for some reasons, you need to go down to one income instead of both people working. You can do that. You have that financial freedom. You can spend more time with kids.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I mean, everyone, there's so many working couples. Both of them work. Both of them can't make it to the recital, the 4-on-4 soccer or whatever. I mean, can you imagine if you didn't have a mortgage, both of you don't have to work. You're not paying for daycare anymore, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Your actual costs actually lower because you're both aren't working.
And you have all this extra money back into your household budget each month. And you know, now that there's this much larger standardized deduction, income tax returns, very few people are able to take advantage of mortgage interest because there's just no benefit for most people in itemizing deductions.
And that was one of the biggest arguments people used to have was, I can't write off my mortgage. I get to write off my mortgage interest. Well, guess what? You don't get to do that anymore.
I mean,
unless you're heavily in debt.
Right.
Because the only way you can write off is if you have so many write-offs, which is a huge interest thing. And that right there proves that you have too much house.
Right.
So, because if you're rich enough to have that house, you wouldn't have this debt in the first place. And also, when you pay off a mortgage, you get a huge raise.
Yeah.
And what you're supposed to be doing is, if you have a paid-off mortgage, then you take either all of it or a portion of it, and you're now rolling that into additional investments, and that's where you really develop and build up your wealth. And you do it at a much faster rate than you did before. So if you're a couple in your 40s, and you still got 20 more years to work, you can really put a lot of money away. And when you hit that retirement age, you might be able to retire even earlier because you have 1, 2, 3, 4 million put away because you didn't have a mortgage.
Yep.
There are some arguments out there that I found against paying off your house. So I'm going to go through these just to throw it out there. But we would love to get your feedback. If you want to tell us why or why you should not pay off your mortgage, please send in. Here's what I found here, what I Googled out, okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, people feel that they should keep their holdings liquid, which lets them have flexibility in investing. Or it gives them money in case there's an emergency. But what did we do back on baby step three with that one?
Yeah, you already funded an emergency fund.
We have 3 to 6 months of emergency fund already built. So I don't understand why that's even an argument. But I found it out there. Number two, returns on investing will be higher. Now, I can kind of see this argument. Some people have mortgages that are 2.5%. But now, the way the stock market's rolling, in a simple index fund last year was 31%.
Right.
So I can kind of see that argument because this bull run isn't going to last forever. We're in a historic run. And at some point, it's going to drop. And we'll probably go lateral for a while.
Right.
Because it's happened before. Okay, it's just the way it works. I can kind of understand that. However, if you can get rid of your mortgage, you can dump even more money in over time and dollar cost averaging, and you're even buying more shares than you are now. I mean, there's different ways. The other way is that people argue is you're not diversifying your assets by only paying off one house in one real estate. You're not diversifying across other different kinds of things.
Right.
You're already doing your 15% in your 401k, your IRA. But if you get rid of the house, you can diversify across much greater things, is my opinion, because now you have all this money. I can go buy another property. I can go buy a business. There's a lot of things you can do because you don't have a mortgage payment. I guess there's arguments with both sides.
Yeah. So I can't remember. I think I just talked about this not that long ago, but maybe it was at the budgeting in the last episode. So one relatively easy way of paying off your mortgage early is to make payment with every paycheck. If you're getting paid every 2 weeks instead mm-hmm. of like once a month or twice a month, if you get paid every 2 weeks, that's 26 pay periods per year.
Whoa.
It actually ends up being an extra month of mortgage payment each year.
Wow.
And then because you're paying interest in advance, it actually takes years off of your mortgage payments. So it's really easy. Obviously you would send in half your mortgage each pay period to make up the full one, or you could send in a full one during one and then an extra payment on the second one if you can afford that. But just splitting it up, even if you don't pay any more each month, but just by splitting it up into two payments, you're going to actually make one full extra payment each year.
Typically, if you do the baby steps, the average time people pay off their houses is 7 years.
That's great.
That's great. That's half of a 15-year mortgage.
If only I stayed in a house for 7 years.
You will eventually. You'll have like 20 of them. You can pick one to stay in.
I know. Yeah.
You're working on it. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rock Band USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.